So we were made for these times. So what exactly are these times? I think that's the big question. You know, not too long ago, I visited with a relative. And this relative, lovely person, she has an Apple Watch. You know, some of you may have an Apple Watch as well. And she has it set, I discovered, as we were there, because we would sit down and start talking, and this watch would beep periodically, really too often for my taste. So finally I said, you know, what's going on there? And she said, oh, it's fantastic. I've downloaded an app, a news app, and the watch beeps every time there's an important headline. So as the days went by and we were together, the watch would beep and she'd say, more immigrants are coming into the country. Or, there's more problems with trans kids in schools. And she'd shake her head. So it didn't take me long to realize that this little device on her wrist, this wristwatch, fancy wristwatch, was shaping her idea of what was happening in the world. And how could it not? I mean, this was a supposed news source, and you and I might disagree about this particular source as a source of news, but it is billed as a news source, sending alerts that beeped with importance on her wrist, something she couldn't have even imagined possible when she was a child. And each headline plugged into a larger narrative that seemed to fit what a lot of the people around her seemed to be saying when they were at their most anxious and most fearful, that the United States was on fire, that no one wants to work, and groceries are too high, and immigrants are coming in by the thousands unchecked, and schools are pushing kids to be trans, and so on and so on. And in just a few days of that visit, I realized that nothing I could say or do could fight with that watch and those bigger narratives at play. So this isn't the explanation for our world today, but it's a piece exhibiting the way that technology and the spread of information and disinformation is affecting our lives. It affects what people think and feel and how they vote. It helps us to live in different realities. And when there are people and forces at work that look to exploit our hate and fear, then that divide gets even greater. I believe truly that there are individuals in our country who have no conscious intention of being racist or misogynistic or ableist or homophobic or transphobic, but they can easily fall into being just that when these narratives are exploited with every means available in this particular digital age that we live in. My point is that we didn't get to this moment just because of one person. No matter how much one person may feel sometimes like the face of it all. No, it's not one person who got us here, and it's not going to be one person who saves us all. Like Louise read, it's going to take communities that band together to create the change we want to see, and it's going to take all of us to create a container where we can collectively do the work of healing that must go alongside the work of justice. Someone said that to me this morning as we were walking in. She said, I'm going to work on myself right now. Exactly. As Bell Hooks says, rarely, if ever, are any of us healed in isolation. Healing is an act of communion. In my opinion, this week our nation exhibited the symptoms I have believed for so long have been mostly ignored by our politicians wherever they fall. I believe we have a nation, because of the events of the last 8 to 10 years, We have a nation of traumatized, frightened, often angry people. And without a concerted effort toward healing that trauma, we will not be moving forward in ways that bring around beloved community. So that's where we're at, right? But I want you to take a moment and ground yourself. We were doing that as we were talking about what we were grateful for right here, but also ground yourself in this thing called Unitarian Universalism, because it is not some new thing. It didn't spring up last week. It didn't spring up during the 1960s civil rights movement. It's been around for hundreds of years, since the early days of Christianity. It's taken different names and forms over the years, but the movements that created contemporary Unitarian Universalism have always been dedicated to reason, truth, freedom, and justice. We are sitting here today. We are joined by people online today because we are here on the shoulders of those who came before. Unless you think these were just people in some small ragtag group somewhere trying to work against the system, we're here with three of our first six presidents having been Unitarian. I mean, wouldn't that have been a nice message this week? A Unitarian Universalist president had been elected. Well, guess what, folks? It's happened in our history. Not only happened in our history, but it was at the beginning of the formation of this country in a profound way. Look at who signed the Declaration of Independence. You'll find our people there. We've been fighting along the way. We fought against slavery, fought for the mentally ill, fought for women's rights, fought for civil rights, fought for LGBTQ rights, fought really recently, yet again, for reproductive rights. Our history, our long history, and our recent history is rich. And this congregation in Santa Clarita, we are part of this legacy. In fact, we are the living embodiment of that legacy. Big responsibility. And I know that as we sit here in Santa Clarita this morning, it may feel like, well, this well-meaning, but somewhat weary small group, this is it? This is the legacy, right? Listen, this Sunday morning across the nation, there are mega churches that are packing their houses in celebration. Meanwhile, mostly small UU congregations across this country find ourselves in a more somber place. We sit here with questions about what will happen. We wonder whether we will witness the erosion of rights, the dismantling of agencies that ensure education, health, and environmental progress. We wonder whether immigrants, LGBTQ folks, and women will be safe in the coming times. We have lots of questions this morning and no certainties of what the future brings at this moment. It reminds me of C.S. Lewis, who said, "No one ever told me that grief felt so much like fear." Grief and fear, whew, those two are intertwined. And we are here together this morning to witness all of these fears and concerns and the grief, anxiety, and sadness that go along with it. I want you to know the folks in this community and I, we see you. You are seen with whatever you are feeling today. And there is another truth this morning, and that is that the work of repair needs to be done now, and likely there will be work of repair and resistance to be done in the near future. And we use, in our relatively small numbers compared to some faith traditions, are uniquely poised because no matter what our numbers have been, our voice has always been big, has been loud. We are the people who have shown up. We have a history of doing this kind of work, And because of our openness to the plight of others and our history of protecting those who are targeted, we are needed at this moment as much as we have ever been, however we can contribute. And we, coincidentally, or however this works out, we as a larger UU faith movement, as you've been hearing, have been grounding ourselves very specifically in love in the last couple of years. We are trying to move beyond some of the quibbles that sometimes set our congregations back in the old days about, you know, whether Louise believed in God or Glenda didn't or who was an agnostic and so on. We don't worry about that as much right now. We say all of that is for you to discover on your spiritual path. We come together because we believe in the power of love to change our world. That's what we've come to as a large faith movement. And how fortunate that that is where we are right at this moment in time, because goodness knows we need to ground ourselves in something to move forward. And why not have it be love? That love that can change this world. And the piece of good news I share with you this morning, and it's going to take people saying it over and over this congregational year before we all believe it, but I believe it, and I hope you'll believe it too. The good news is that we here have everything we need to move forward. We here in this congregation in Santa Clarita have everything we need to move forward. Now, does that mean we don't need to do anything, to organize anything, that nothing needs to be packaged and set up? No, of course not. And what it means is that we have the raw material here to help us get where we are going. We are empowered to do the work of making change, of repair. Rachel Naomi Riemann reminds us that we are all healers of the world. It's not about healing the world by making a huge difference. It's about healing the world that touches you, that's around you, the world you're in. You have power to change that world for the better. You start with the things closest to you. And it starts right here this morning. It starts with your heart, your spirit, your connection to God, or your sense of the bigger picture, however you understand it. Again, that's all welcome, wherever you fall on that spectrum of understanding. The point is that you have a connection to something, some understanding of connection. We have to be right and whole within ourselves to do this work in the coming days. You know, they say that grief is wounding is sometimes an opportunity. Carolyn Miss says, it's one of my favorite quotes. She says, "The dark night of the soul is a journey into light, a journey from your darkness into the strength and hidden resources of your soul." This is the moment, this week, this Sunday morning is the moment to get in touch with ourselves, to dig deep into what nurtures and sustains us. After the service, call that friend or family member you haven't spoken to in a while that you need to be in touch with, to feel like who you are again. Do that thing that makes you feel whole with yourself. Start meditating or taking water aerobics, or sit in a room with a lit candle and just let your spirit be open to whatever comes to it. Reread a favorite book and let its wisdom begin to make you whole. Tend to yourself, your spirit. Is what is happening in the world overwhelming? Sure. So you start with yourself. You do what you can. And then as that work of repair and healing comes further along, we can look around, we look at the world that touches us, that we have some influence over, and think about what we can do. What touches us, this congregation here in Santa Clarita? Who are our allies? Who have we held in care during their struggles? Who has held us in care during ours? What are our strengths? What can we build on? And this, folks, is the work that we are doing today as we sit in this complicated place with all of our feelings. We are starting to do the work. And part of the reason we're doing that is because we've been all through so much in recent years that to just sit in a place of grief, I think we've all done that. And this morning, I'm going to say, yes, you can be in that place, but we're also going to look ahead a little bit, not too much, but just a little bit. So I was thinking this morning that we don't need to look too far into the future. Maybe someday the UU congregation of Santa Clarita will sit, if this is its goal, it would sit in a great big building with thousands of members. And that may be more possible than we even realize or think this morning. But that dream's a little further down the road than this congregational year, I think. And it's more than our board president probably signed on for this year. So right now in this liminal space, we don't know what's coming and we are a little too overwhelmed to plan too far ahead. But you know what we can do? We can make a few concrete, attainable, or mildly aspirational goals for this congregation, for this congregational year that ends in June or so. So the question is, what can we do in the next 8 months or so? What's attainable? What would you like to see happen? What do we have the raw materials for that you would like to start building? So we're doing this again, more work. This time, these slips of paper will not be read out loud. They're going to go to the board, and this will be the board's work to look through what you share with us this morning so that we know what this congregation is really feeling called to do this year. And I have some slips here that you can pass up. Thank you, Louise. And again, we're looking for those attainable goals. Maybe there's a program or activity you'd like to see here. Maybe there's an outreach effort you'd like us to make. Maybe there's something that's already here that you'd like to see this congregation put a little more energy into. We'd love to know your top two things, those two things that you think, especially at this particular historical moment, that we all should work on together in this shared ministry.